Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen. Beloved congregation, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation, let us turn in our Psalters this morning to Psalter 241. Psalter 241, the first four stanzas. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. Let us sing praise to God. We turn this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Reading the verses 1 through 20. Let us hear the word of God. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The text for the sermon this morning is taken from three verses of this chapter, Luke 2, verse 11, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then also verses 15 and 16, And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. As far as the reading of the word of our God. We confess our faith this morning with the words of Article 18 of our Belgic Confession, and I invite you to turn with me in the back of your Psalters to that article. It is located on page 13, and let's read it together. Article 18, page 13 in the back of your Psalter. We confess, therefore, that God did fulfill the promise which he made to the fathers by the mouth of his holy prophets, when he sent into the world at the time appointed by him his only begotten and eternal Son, who took upon him the form of a servant and became like unto man, really assuming the true human nature with all its infirmities, sin excepted, being conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Ghost, without the means of man, and did not only assume human nature as to the body, but also a true human soul, that he might be a real man. For since the soul was lost as well as the body, it was necessary that he should take both upon him to save both. Therefore we confess, in opposition to the heresy of the Anabaptists, who deny that Christ assumed human flesh of his mother, that Christ is become a partaker of the flesh and blood of the children, that he is a fruit of the loins of David after the flesh, made of the seed of David according to the flesh, a fruit of the womb of the Virgin Mary, made of a woman, a branch of David, a shoot of the root of Jesse, sprung from the tribe of Judah, descended from the Jews according to the flesh, of the seed of Abraham, since he took on him the seed of Abraham, and became like unto his brethren in all things, sin excepted, so that in truth he is our Emmanuel, that is to say, God with us. Beloved congregation, when a baby is born, many Christian parents send out a birth announcement to family and friends and sometimes even members of the congregation. And these announcements are usually quite standard. They usually contain the same information. They express thanksgiving to God for the gift of new life. Sometimes there's a verse from Scripture. These birth announcements also contain the baby's name and the date and the place of birth, and for reasons I could never quite understand, the baby's weight and the names of the parents. And an announcement like this is a way for Christian parents to share their joy with others. Well, the words of our text this morning contain what is arguably one of the most famous birth announcements in history. It is the birth announcement of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This announcement is unlike any other announcement. For one thing, it didn't come in the mail. Wasn't distributed in people's mailboxes at church. It was announced by an angel, no less, one who had come directly from the throne of God. For another thing, it was announced not to a small circle of family and friends, people who were well acquainted with the parents, but rather to some poor shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks by night someplace out in the fields near Bethlehem, shepherds who were not even related, as far as we know, to Mary and Joseph. We have a record of this announcement in the words that we read this morning from Luke 2, verse 11. There the angel says to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." With God's help this morning, we want to reflect on the words of our text under this theme, Jesus' birth announcement. Jesus' birth announcement. Three thoughts. First of all, the unlikely recipients of this announcement. Secondly, the astounding truths in this announcement. And thirdly, the believing response to this announcement. Events of our text congregation took place sometime in the middle of the night. And outside of the small town of Bethlehem were a small group of shepherds keeping watch over their flock. And suddenly, as if out of nowhere, an angel of the Lord stood right before them. And Luke tells us that the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and the shepherds were very afraid. Why were they afraid? Well, they were afraid because these shepherds had come into direct contact with pure holiness. Man always reacts in fear when confronted with pure holiness. And the reason for that is obvious, because man is sinful. And as a sinful being, man instinctively knows that he cannot stand before the holiness of God and live. And so when man is confronted with pure, unadulterated holiness, he expects and deserves God's judgment. And that causes him to fear. And these shepherds were no different. When they saw the angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord shining round about them, they were very afraid. But as it turns out, congregation, the shepherds had no reason to be afraid. For this angel was sent by God not to destroy them, but rather to bring them good news. And what was the good news that they were to bring? Well, the good news was this: the Savior was born. The angel said to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The angel here announces the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's especially striking about this announcement is not just what it contains. We'll come back to that under our second point. But I want you to notice, first of all, to whom this announcement was given. This announcement was conveyed to shepherds. Now, this is not at all what we might have expected. We might have expected the angel to announce the birth of the Messiah, first of all, at least to the high priest in Jerusalem, or to a gathering of the Sanhedrin, the religious and political leaders of the Jews, or perhaps to King Herod, who was the king of the Jews at that time, or even to Caesar Augustus, the great emperor living there in Rome. Or maybe, at the very least, to the family of Mary and Joseph, or perhaps to Zacharias and Elizabeth, who knew that Mary was expecting this child. But this is not what happened. God sent his angel to announce the birth of his son to shepherds. And what's so interesting about this, and so strange, really, is that shepherds were some of the most despised members of Jewish society, only one step up from lepers. Now, that was not always the case, of course. Centuries before the birth of Christ, shepherding was considered a very honorable occupation, and some of the patriarchs were shepherds. Abraham was a shepherd. So was Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David when he was young before he became king. But over the years, shepherds came to be despised, and this was probably due somewhat to the nature of their calling. Because they were nomadic and constantly on the move with their flocks, they were not able always to attend the temple services. And what is more, shepherds had a reputation for stealing and lying. In fact, in these days, it was unlawful for a shepherd to give testimony in a court of law. And yet this announcement of the Savior's birth comes to these people, these shepherds. You say, why is that? Why is it that God sent his angel to these shepherds? Well, was it not at least partly because these shepherds, poor and humble and lowly, despised and outcast, represent exactly the kind of people that the Lord Jesus had come to save? He had not come to save the rich and the mighty, those who felt that they have it all together, the powerful, the influential. He came to save those who are nothing. The poor, the despised, the oppressed, the people who know that they have nothing to commend themselves before God. Isn't this also what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? When he writes, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." The point is, the recipients of this birth announcement represent the people whom Jesus had come to save. What an encouragement we have here to come to Christ. Do you think that you are too unworthy for the Lord? We can sometimes think that about ourselves. We look at our life and we see so much sin, so many shortcomings. We realize that we cannot possibly stand before God as we are. And when we're confronted with the holiness of God, like the shepherds, we quake in fear. And the thought can go through our minds sometimes, I've sinned so much. Will the Lord have mercy upon me? Will he receive me? And the answer to that question is yes. If the Lord sent his angel to poor, despised shepherds, then he is willing to have dealings with the most despised people on earth. And so this announcement comes to shepherds. But as I said, this is not the only significant thing about this announcement. Not only is it significant that it came to shepherds, but the announcement itself contains some very astounding truths. And that leads us to our second point. And notice what the angel says in this announcement of the Savior's birth. First of all, he describes his work. The angel says he will be a Savior. Unto you is born this day a Savior. Not a teacher, not a miracle worker, not even a king, but a Savior. Say, a Savior from what? Well, most of the Jews at that time were expecting a Savior from the Romans. They were looking for a Messiah who would deliver them from political bondage to Rome. That's what they wanted. That's what they expected. But this Savior would be no political Savior. His kingdom would not be a political kingdom. He would be a Savior from sin and the consequences of sin. And that was clear already when the angel appeared to Joseph and told him to name his son Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior. This is why Christ came to the world. This is why he was born. This is why. It was to save his people from their sins. He shall be a Savior. What is more, the angel calls him Christ. Unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ. Christ. Christ is another Greek word. It's the equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah. And the word Messiah means anointed one. Wasn't that who Christ was? He was the great anointed one, wasn't he? He was anointed into three offices: his office of prophet, office of priest, and office as king. As a prophet, he was anointed to teach us all the will of God. As a priest, he was anointed by God to sacrifice not just an animal, but himself, his own body, for our sins, and to intercede for us before the throne of his Father in heaven. As a king, he is anointed to govern over his people by his word and spirit, and to defend and preserve us, as our catechism says, in that enjoyment of that salvation which he has purchased for us. He is Christ, the anointed one. But he is also Lord. Lord. The name Lord is an Old Testament name for God. The fact that the angel calls him Lord means that he was God. Yes, even as he was lying there in that manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, unable to move, he was God. He had the whole world in his hands. He was upholding the universe and governing all things in heaven above and on the earth beneath. He was God, very God. He was not, as many sects today claim, a created being, some kind of superhuman or the angel Michael. No, he was the second person of the Holy Trinity in the flesh. Christ the Lord. But the name Lord also means owner. By means of that name, the angel is reminding us that Christ is the owner of his people. If you're a Christian today, if you're a believer in Christ today, you belong to Christ. He is your king. You don't belong to yourself. And that means you may not live for yourself either. You must live for him. And you must obey him. And you must keep his word and his law, for he is the Lord. And on what basis, you say, is he my Lord? On the basis that he redeemed you from your sins. And so you owe him everything. Everything. All that you have is his. All that you are is his. He is the Lord of his people. And so this baby that was born is a Savior. He is Christ, and he is the Lord. But that's not all that the angel says. He also pays attention to the place where he was born. In the city of David. Now, the reference here, of course, is to the city or the town of Bethlehem. And it's called the city of David because that's where the great King David was from. And it was here, in this city, the city of David, that the promised Messiah was born. Now, why did the angel draw attention to this fact? Why did he not simply say, in Bethlehem? Why did he say in the city of David? I think there are at least two reasons for this. First of all, because he wanted the shepherds to understand that the birth of this little baby was the fulfillment of the promise made to David many hundreds of years earlier. And we read of that promise in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. There God promised David that he would set up his seed after him, who would come from his body, and he would establish his kingdom. He would build a house for his name, and he would establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And now in fulfillment of that promise, God caused his only begotten son to be born in that city, in the city of David. And God here is communicating to his people that he had remembered his promise. He was a faithful God, that he would send his son who would rule on the throne of his father David. And to express that, he caused his son to be born in the city of David. But there's a second reason why the angel draws attention to the place of his birth, because he wants the shepherds to understand that Christ's birth was the fulfillment of Old Testament promise. Because back in the prophecy of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, Micah writes this, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." So Micah here predicts already hundreds of years before Christ was born that he, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. Even the religious leaders of the Jews acknowledged that, for when Herod inquired of them where the Christ child should be born, they said, quoting this verse, "He will be born in Bethlehem," and God saw to it that he was. Fulfillment of this prophecy. And so the Savior, who was the Christ, the Lord, was born in the city of David. But there's one more thing that the angel says in this announcement. One more astounding truth. He says that this child is born unto you. Unto you. It's the very first words of our text. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And that word unto you, that phrase unto you, means for you. For your benefit, for your advantage. Now at one level, the word you here refers to the shepherds, of course. The Savior was born for them. And was born for people like them, poor and lowly and undeserving and despised. At another level, this word you refers to all of the Jews, because the Savior was promised to them. They were God's covenant people. It was to them, the seed of Abraham, that God said the Messiah would come. But ultimately, congregation, and this is the truth, the astounding truth I want you to grab hold of this morning. Ultimately, these words unto you is addressed to all of us. All men. You sitting here this morning, but also all men throughout the entire world. He's born unto us. Isaiah said it already so many years ago, didn't he? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the angel himself confirmed this when he said that he brought them tidings of great joy, which would be to the shepherds only, to the Jews only, no, but to all people. This Savior, born in the city of David, is born unto us. And that's an astounding truth. Unto us. Who are we? Who are you? Who am I? We are rebels against God. And we have sinned against God. We have turned our back on him. We have forsaken him. We have rejected him. And it would have been perfectly just for the Lord to forsake us and to turn his back on us already there in the Garden of Eden. But he didn't. But he came with his promise to Eve that the seed of the woman would one day bruise the head of the serpent. Why? So that you and I and all men everywhere might have the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. He was born for that purpose, that you and I might be saved. It's the greatest gift, salvation. There's no gift like it. Children, you may have received gifts from your parents for Christmas, and it's nice always to receive a gift. And our birthdays too. Who doesn't like to get a gift? But you know, the greatest gift we can ever receive is this gift. It's the gift of the Son of God. Because when we have him, we have the forgiveness of all of our sins. We're adopted as God's sons and daughters. We have peace with God. And there's no condemnation in Christ. We have the gift of everlasting life. And the Lord Jesus Christ calls sinners still today. And he tells us, unto you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Oh, what an astounding announcement. How did the shepherds respond to this announcement? That's our third point. As we might expect, the shepherds took this announcement very seriously. And we know this because no sooner did the angel finish this announcement than the shepherds resolved right there and then to go to Bethlehem. We read about that in verse 15. And it says there, and they came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they did. It's amazing to think that here were these shepherds, and their primary task was to look after sheep. And that's what they were doing. They were doing what they were supposed to do. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. But as soon as the angel left and the heavenly chorus of angels retreated back into heaven, they said, let's go to Bethlehem. Now, do you think that they took all their sheep with them? Of course not. They left the sheep alone there in the field. And they made haste, it says. They made haste to Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass. So we learn here something about faith, don't we? We learn here that faith doesn't question God. Faith takes God at his word. It accepts whatever God says as true, even though it may appear to us to be totally contrary to what we expect or even think is possible. I mean, just look at these shepherds. They would not have expected the Messiah to be born in Bethlehem. I'm sure most of the Jews in those days long forgot about the prophecy of Micah. They probably thought Jesus, the Messiah, would have been born in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which is the capital city of the Jewish people, the religious nerve center of the Jewish people, not Bethlehem. Bethlehem, this little town off the beaten track. Oh, if the Messiah was going to be born anywhere, it would be Jerusalem. But the angel said, no, he's born in Bethlehem, and the shepherds believed it. And that's where they went. Nor would they have expected the Messiah to be wrapped in swaddling cloths. If he was a great king, if he was going to be the Messiah of his people, they would have expected him to have been born in a palace and wrapped in kingly robes, not swaddling cloths, and certainly not lying in a manger, an animal's feeding trough. And yet, despite all that the angels said that was probably so contrary to their expectations and that probably raised all kinds of questions in their mind, they believed what the Lord said. And that's what faith does. Faith believes what God says. Faith doesn't ask questions. Faith doesn't lay down conditions. Faith hears the word of God, and faith believes the word of God, and faith acts on the word of God. And that's exactly what these shepherds teach us, don't they? They took God at his word, and they were rewarded for it. For we read in verse 16, and they came with haste, and what did they find? What do we read there? And they came with haste, and all their hopes were dashed, and all their expectations came to nothing. Is that what we read? No. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. You see what the Lord is teaching us here, congregation? He's teaching us that when we seek him, we will find him. When we believe his word, he will reward that faith. God doesn't send us on a wild goose chase. He doesn't hide himself from us. He doesn't play a game of hide and seek with us. The Bible says those who seek him with all of their heart shall find him. Now, they may not find him right away. God is sovereign. And for reasons known only to himself, God sometimes hides his face from those who seek him. Also, in the life of God's people, but this much we can be certain of, that those who seek him shall find him. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Ask, and ye shall receive. And so there's a message of encouragement for all of us here, isn't there? The message is don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up seeking the Lord. The shepherds sought him, and they found him. And you will find him too, if you haven't already. And isn't that what Christmas is all about? It's not about presents, decorations, and cozy evenings by the fireplace. It's about seeking and finding Jesus. And those who possess him possess the greatest gift they can ever receive. For those who have Christ have everything. Those who do not have him have nothing. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 261.